But how many of you have heard that you cannot pour from an empty cup? Like, it's a saying that I've heard more times than I can count. It's become one of those sayings that I feel like we hear all the time, especially if you're kind of in the helping workplace, the caring, the teachers hear it. You can't pour from an empty cup. Parents hear it. You can't pour from an empty cup. Volunteers, caregivers. And it's true. You can't pour from an empty cup. But most of us don't actually start out empty. We start quite full with water in the cup. We start a new season with energy and new school year, new job, new ministry, new commitment, and we're feeling good. But then, as we all know, life starts happening. It's like September starts, school starts again. Lunches is the ongoing constant drip. And just sports schedules start draining us. So many different things. And it's not just the tangible things, but then it's even the weight that we carry. It's like we're carrying caring for loved ones. We're carrying the stress of the workplace, of our kids. And before long, all these worries just keep coming out and coming out. And eventually, we're running on fumes, and we're trying to still give, and we're thinking, why aren't I giving like I did give and I had committed to give? But you can't pour from an empty cup. And sure, there are times that we fill the cup back up a little. Like, I got away to Florida on March break, so fill the cup a bit. Maybe you get an afternoon off work, fills it up a little bit. And we live for the long weekends, and we live for the vacations. And sure, it fills it up a little bit, but at the same time, as we're scrolling on our phones, as we're running from one thing to the next, as much as we've taken those moments to fill it back in, it just keeps draining out. And before long, we're running on empty. And I believe that's where many of us find ourselves today, and just in the month of June. It's just one of those months that we have poured almost everything we have, if not everything we have, completely out. And we're counting down the days to summer. But as Nate even said, he doesn't get summers off. He's got to work all summer. But we're counting down the days to vacation. But I don't believe we're just physically tired. I believe the deeper problem is that we're soul tired. It's the kind of tired that sleep doesn't always fix. The kind of tired that vacation doesn't always fix. And it's the kind of tired that makes us wonder, how much longer can we keep doing this? And what's fascinating to me is that Jesus doesn't give us a command to try harder, get organized, manage your time better, push through. Instead, he gives us an invitation. And into this world that's filled with exhausted people, Jesus says, come to me. Today, we're beginning this brand new series called Come to Me. And over the next few weeks, we're going to explore some of Jesus' invitations and what they mean for our lives today. And we begin with an invitation that many of us desperately need to hear right now. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So Jesus, thank you for your invitation. Thank you that you see the burdens we carry, the weariness we feel, and the things that are weighing us down. As we open your word today, would you help us slow down and hear your voice? Give us ears to hear what you want to say, hearts that are open to receive it, and the courage to respond. God, for those of us who are tired, anxious, discouraged, or carrying more than they can even handle, I pray that they would experience your presence and your rest today. We come to you now, in your name, amen. These words come to me. They come from Matthew chapter 11. And while they might be familiar to some of you, they would have landed with incredible power for the first people who heard them. Because Jesus wasn't speaking to people who were living easy, carefree lives. He was speaking to people living under Roman oppression. And into that reality, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And this is such a beautiful invitation, and one that I keep coming back to year after year at this time. Maybe because it's because I'm married to a teacher and we've got young kids, and it's just that's where it hits home for us. But I think it's one that we all need to hear. Because here's the question: why are we so exhausted in a world designed for convenience? We have more technology than ever before. More tools, more shortcuts, more conveniences, more ways to save time, and yet somehow we're more exhausted than ever. So maybe the problem isn't merely busyness. Maybe it's actually soul fragmentation. What I mean by that is part of us is worried about work, part of us is worried about kids, part of us is replaying yesterday, another part of us is stressing about tomorrow. And we are everywhere except right here. Amanda and I give each other a hard time when we're trying to talk to the other and we're on our phones. It's like, I'll just wait until you actually get back to the present moment. And it's such a hard thing to do because our bodies are here, but our minds are often in so many different places. And in fact, I even heard an article on Netflix saying that they're required to restate the premise of their movies multiple times throughout the movie because people aren't paying attention throughout the whole thing because people are now scrolling on their devices while watching the movie. So you'll notice them restate the premise about four or five times throughout the movie. That's how fragmented we are. Our souls never slow down long enough to rest. But that's what I want to offer this month as we lean into this series, Come to Me, is I want us to slow down and fix our eyes on Jesus. And I want it to be a moment that you look forward to in the week and that you can reflect on later in the week. Like, man, I needed that. And here's what I want you to see in Jesus' words, though. Jesus isn't merely saying, slow your schedule. When Jesus says, I will give you rest, he's not talking about a nap. He's talking about your soul. Because, again, you can sleep for 8 hours and still wake up feeling exhausted. You can take a vacation and come back drained. I know I've said before, man, I need a vacation from vacation. And you can sit on a beach and still carry anxiety. Why? It's because our souls are still carrying things. It's carrying the weight of tomorrow. It's carrying the regrets from yesterday. It's carrying the pressures of today. And eventually that weight, it catches up with us. Because even when our bodies stop moving, our souls often just keep running. But that's why Jesus says, when you come to me, you will find rest for your soul. And again, excuse me, Jesus isn't speaking into a culture of smartphones, soccer practices, email notifications, overflowing calendars, but he's still speaking to people who are exhausted. And I find that so interesting because the people Jesus is talking to aren't primarily tired from being busy. They're tired from carrying burdens. Again, the people in Jesus' day were living under crushing pressure of Roman oppression, heavy taxes, poverty, political uncertainty. But then there was another burden that people were carrying, which was religious burden. The religious leaders had taken God's beautiful law and piled rule upon rule upon rule on top of it. So people were constantly wondering, am I doing enough? Am I good enough? Am I pleasing God enough? Am I getting this right? And in fact, Jesus says elsewhere that the Pharisees, they tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders. And just think about that image, these heavy loads and burdens and expectations and pressures. And in the midst of this, Jesus comes along and says, come to me. Not come to religion, come to more rules, try harder. Come to me. And that's what makes this invitation so radical, because he's not offering exhausted people another burden to carry. He's offering himself. And this is where things get really relevant for us, because while most of us aren't carrying the burden of first century Pharisaic religion, we're still carrying burdens. Some of us, we're carrying the burden of success. Like, we always have to achieve more, do more, produce more, be more. Or maybe the burden of approval, where we're wondering what other people are thinking about us. We're trying to keep everyone happy. Some of us are carrying the burden of perfection, trying to be the perfect parent or spouse or employee or maybe even the perfect Christian. And others are carrying the burden of anxiety, fears, regret, shame, control. And if we're honest, many of us are just exhausted because we're carrying things God never asked us to carry. And that's why Jesus doesn't simply say, come to me and I'll give you a day off. He says, come to me and I will give you rest. And not just any rest, but rest for your soul. Because we're all looking forward to summer. But if we're not careful, we may still carry anxiety. We may still feel exhausted. We may still be worried. We may still come back without any peace. And why? Because the deepest exhaustion isn't physical. It's spiritual. It's emotional. It's a soul-level exhaustion. And I think this is where most of us miss it. Actually, Steve Kerr out at Gateway, he always tells his staff this every summer before vacation. He says, don't come back in September grumpy. And what he means is, this is your time. Use it. Take the vacation. Put down the work. Spend time with your family. Get outside. Reconnect with Jesus. Don't spend your entire vacation checking emails, worrying about work, stressing about what happens when you get back, and then return just as exhausted as when you left. It says, don't come back grumpy, because we're not asking that of you. But you see, I think we do it to ourselves. But I think that's a pretty good word for all of us, because sometimes we take time off physically, but we never take the time off emotionally. We leave work, but work never leaves us. Or we go on vacation, but we bring anxiety right along with us. We sit on the beach, but again, our mind is somewhere else. And that's why Jesus doesn't merely offer us a break. He offers us something deeper. He offers us rest for our souls. He says, come to me, and you will find rest for your soul. And it's not a you might find it, you could find it. It's a you will find it. Not because your circumstances change or because you're no longer carrying any burdens. It's because you're no longer carrying them alone. Which leads to a really important question. If Jesus is offering rest, why does he immediately start talking about a yoke? This always bothered me. But the reality is, everybody already has a yoke. So the problem isn't that we're carrying a yoke. The problem is we're carrying the wrong yoke. Because if you've been paying attention, Jesus almost seems to contradict himself. He says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened. I'm going to give you rest. And then the very next breath, he says, take my yoke upon you. And it's like, wait a minute, I thought I was getting rest. You're still calling me to work. But Jesus understands something that we often miss. The choice isn't between carrying a yoke or not carrying a yoke. The choice is between carrying the wrong yoke and carrying the right one. The yoke is this wooden beam that's placed across the shoulders of two oxen. It joined them together so that they could walk in the same direction and pull the load. And in Jesus' day, a yoke became this common image for the way someone lived, their way of life, their teaching, the thing that they submitted themselves to. Because they knew everybody was already wearing a yoke. Everyone was already being led and influenced by something. And the same is true today. Every one of us is being pulled by something, serving something, carrying something. Earlier in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. In other words, everyone has a master. Everyone has a yoke. We're all giving our life to something. But the question isn't whether or not you have the yoke. The question is, which yoke are you carrying? Who are you attached to? What are you attached to? Is it the yoke of success? If I can just achieve a little more, accomplish a little more? Is it the yoke of approval? What do people think of me? Do they like me? Am I enough? Am I accepted? Others carry the yoke of control, where we're trying to control that thing no matter what. We want to know the outcomes. We want to know what's going to happen. We want to hold everything together. And then there's so many other yokes: comfort, security, pleasure, recognition, image, productivity. The list can go on and on and on. But here's what's interesting. Most of these things aren't necessarily bad. In fact, some of them are good things. Just like the things we poured out of the cup earlier, they're not all bad. Taking our kids to sports, that's not bad in and of itself. Going on vacations, filling up your calendar and hanging out with friends. But those things in and of themselves make terrible masters. If we yoke ourselves together with those, because all of those things will eventually start demanding more and more and more from us. And success will say you haven't done enough. Approval says you need everyone to like you. Control says everything depends on you. And productivity says your worth is found in what you accomplish. And that no matter how much you give them, they always want more. And that's why we're exhausted. We're carrying yokes that were never designed to carry the weight of our souls. And that's when Jesus says something remarkable. He says, take my yoke upon you. Because Jesus isn't just adding another burden. He's offering an exchange. He's saying, you've been carrying that yoke for too long. How's it working for you? Come take mine instead. And what makes Jesus' yoke different is what he says next. He says, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And think about that. Jesus, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of all creation. When he describes his heart, it's not demanding or harsh or disappointed. He says, I'm gentle. I'm humble. And he's saying to us that if you're going to be yoked to something or someone, be yoked to me. Because I am the kind of master who gives life instead of draining it. I'm the kind of master that restores instead of crushes. I'm the kind of master who will carry you when you don't have the strength to carry yourself. And that's why Jesus can say, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Not because life suddenly becomes easy, or that Christians never suffer, or that our problems disappear. It's because when you're yoked to Jesus, you're no longer carrying life alone. You're walking with him, learning from him, trusting him, following him. And what's incredible is that you'll quickly discover that the one beside you is carrying more than you ever realized. Which raises another question. If Jesus is offering us his yoke, what does that actually look like? How do we stop carrying everything ourselves? Well, it's not easy, but I believe there's one word that answers that. Surrender. Because rest is found in surrender, not control. This is where many of us struggle, because we like control. Like, I like control. You like control. We want to know what's going to happen, how things are going to work out. We want to manage the outcomes. We want to protect ourselves from hurt and disappointment. We want certainty and guarantees. We want to hold everything together. But here's the problem. Many of us are exhausted because we're trying to carry things that only God can carry. We're trying to carry tomorrow. We're trying to carry outcomes and our children's futures and other people's decisions, maybe our reputation. We're trying to carry things that were never meant to sit on our shoulders. And eventually the weight of that just becomes crushing. So Jesus doesn't just say, come to me. He also says, learn from me. Come and learn. In other words, he's not merely offering relief. He's inviting us to a new way of living, a new way of carrying life, a new way of trusting God. Because surrender is not giving up. Surrender is giving over. And there's a difference between those things. Giving up says, nothing matters. White flag goes up. Giving over says, God, this matters deeply to me, but I'm trusting you with it. And that's what Jesus himself modeled. If you just think about the Garden of Gethsemane, on the night before the cross, Jesus prayed, not my will, but yours be done. And Luke tells us that he was under such anguish that his sweat became like drops of blood. Jesus wasn't pretending that this burden wasn't heavy. He wasn't pretending that the pain wasn't real. He simply placed himself in his Father's hands. And if the Son of God practiced surrender, how much more do we need it? Because the truth is, we can't control everything. We can't fix everyone. We can't predict every outcome, and we cannot carry the weight of the world. But the good news is that you were never asked to. The invitation of Jesus isn't take control. It's come to me. Trust me. Walk with me. Learn from me. And this is where many people miss what rest actually is. We think it comes when the problems go away, or when the diagnosis changes, or when the long weekend finally arrives, or when our finances improve, or when the conflict is resolved, when uncertainty is gone. But often the rest that Jesus offers comes before any of those things change. Because the deepest rest is not found in having all the answers. It's found in knowing the one who does. It's the peace that comes when you finally stop gripping so tightly, when you stop trying to be God, and when you stop carrying what only God can, and you place it in his hands. And I know this is easier said than done, but we have to keep coming back to Jesus. Peter reminds us, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And I love that verse because we're not told to ignore our anxiety, pretend it's not there, stuff it down, sweep it under the rug. He says, cast it, throw it, hand it over because God cares for you. He loves you. So coming to Jesus isn't pretending that the pain and the burdens you're carrying don't exist. It's bringing those pains and burdens and doubts and questions to the one who can actually carry them. So I wonder today, what are you carrying that Jesus is inviting you to surrender? Perhaps it's a child you're worried about, or a relationship, your health, your future. Maybe it's a decision you have to make. Or maybe it's something you've carried for years. What would it look like to hand that over to Jesus? Because surrender is not weakness, it's trust. And the moment we finally let go is the moment that we begin to experience the rest that we've been looking for all along. I'm sure I've shared this before, but I was at a healing service several years ago, and I came in very skeptical and actually didn't even know it was a healing service till I got there, and then was skeptical. And at the end of the message, they asked people to stand if they needed any healing, and reluctantly, I stood. I was in the back, in the shadows, thought no one would see me. Long story short, I got called out. I was getting prayed for. And I could feel a warmth. I had some gut issues at the time and was on medication. I could feel a warmth, but there was a block. And there was this man who was praying with me, and he said, "Is there someone you need to forgive?" And at that moment, I just burst into tears, and I was blubbering and crying, and I'm like, I need to forgive Pastor Steve. Pastor Steve from Gateway was part of this circle, and he was like, "What?" And I'm like, "Different Steve." But I had been holding on to this resentment and bitterness and anger, and I hadn't truly forgiven him and let it go. And the moment that I shared that, I was healed. And I don't say that to say it's this equation that all these things will happen to you the moment you let go, but I do share it to say sometimes we're holding on to things because we think it's safer with us than with God. But the moment we let go of it is when we will truly encounter the rest that Jesus provides. Because he can't carry it if you're not letting go. Surrender is not weakness, it's trust. And what I love is that Jesus isn't saying in this passage to come once. He isn't inviting us into this one-time encounter. He's inviting us into an ongoing relationship. He says, "Come to me, trust me, receive my grace, receive my forgiveness." But the invitation doesn't end there. The invitation remains open. He's saying, "Keep coming today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. When you're tired, when you're anxious, when you're overwhelmed and disappointed, when life doesn't make sense, or even when it does. Come to me again and again and again." The Christian life isn't about coming to Jesus once. It's not the one and done, raise your hand, you're good, and then go figure out everything else on your own. You don't graduate from needing Jesus. You don't outgrow your dependence on Jesus. You don't reach a point where you no longer need his presence in your life. Following Jesus, coming to Jesus, is learning to return to him every single day. Because the invitation never expires, and neither does his grace. And as I was preparing the message this week, I just kept coming back to this empty cup. Empty, drained, running on fumes, trying to hold everything together, trying to keep everyone else going, trying to carry burdens that we're never meant to carry alone. And I just realized that the reason many of us are exhausted isn't because we're weak. We're exhausted because we've been carrying too much for too long. We've been trying to pour out of an empty cup. Maybe we're carrying the wrong yoke. Maybe we're trying to control things that only God can. Or maybe we're trying to fill our souls with things that were never designed to truly fill them. And into all of that, Jesus speaks these words, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." The answer to an empty cup isn't trying harder. It's returning to the source. This is what Jesus is inviting us to return to the source. He says, "Come now. As you are, with your questions, burdens, fears, anxieties, weariness, the things that you've been carrying for far too long, come to me." And today, that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to come to Jesus, not because we have it all together or because we figured it all out, not because our burdens have suddenly disappeared, but because he invites us to come to his table. So today we have such a cool opportunity to respond to this invitation, not merely by hearing the words, but by actually coming to him. And as we celebrate communion, it will remind us that Jesus welcomes weary people, burdened people, broken people, people who don't have it all together, people who need him. So as we come to the table, I want you to do exactly what Jesus has been inviting you to do all morning, which is come to me. Because communion reminds us of why he came in the first place. The bread reminds us of Christ's body that was given for us. The cup reminds us of his blood shed for us, so that weary people could be welcomed into his presence, so that burdened people could find forgiveness and grace and rest. And today we're going to receive these elements in remembrance of him and all that he has done. So as we come to the table, I'll invite you to take a piece of bread and dip it into the juice and receive communion right here at the table as you come to him. We also have our bucket at the table for our Compassion Fund offering, because just as communion reminds us of the grace and compassion Christ has shown us, it's such a beautiful pairing to then be able to also extend that same compassion to people in need in our community, within our church family and beyond. So if you'd like to participate, that bucket is available as you come forward as well. But in just a moment after we pray, you're invited to come forward, receive communion. I'll have a scripture on the verse with some music playing, and then we'll close in worship after. But as you come, bring whatever burden you've been carrying. Bring your worries and your fears and your disappointments, your anxiety, those things you've been carrying on your own. And I invite you to leave it at the table. And receive again the grace that Christ freely offers. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Thank you for your invitation. Thank you that we don't have to carry life alone. And thank you that you welcome weary people like us. As we come to your table now, help us to come honestly. Help us to come humbly. And help us to come trusting you with the burdens we've been carrying. Remind us again of your love, your grace, and your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.